Hello, everybody. My name is Daniel Prince, and I am the host of the Once Bitten podcast. This is a podcast focused on Bitcoin. It's my mission to interview as many people as I can around the different aspects of Bitcoin and help people understand exactly what Bitcoin could mean for them and for their families and for their future. I hope you enjoy the show. Thank you so much for listening. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Once Bitten podcast. Joining me on today's show is Patrick from Arnhem in Holland. And a big shout out to Aaron Dorn, who put us in touch actually whilst we were at the Bitcoin Essex meetup last month, which was so much fun. Great to hang with the plebs in the UK, as always. But Aaron wanted to put me in touch with Patrick because of his work, long-lasting work, and you know the impact he's had on his community with him and a few others in Arnhem, which is a city in Holland where they have Bitcoinstad, and they're going to be running. They run meetups all the time, so make sure you're following their Twitter. But they've got an Adopting Bitcoin conference coming up on the 25th of May. They've got a bunch of great speakers lined up, so it's definitely worth you heading over there after you've listened to this and checking out whether or not it's possible for you to get along. But the great thing about it is you're going to be able to use Bitcoin all over the place. And Nathan, I think, is going along to the next meetup, Nathan Day, who started BTC Maps, to talk about adoption, obviously merchant adoption. And he was just at the Bitcoin Madeira conference as well, which was an awesome event. Make sure you get there next year if they run again. And what's going on there with the merchant adoption is it's happening. Like that's the only way to say it. It is happening. It has happened already in Arnhem, and it is happening all the time, because once you get this slow creep, once people realize the benefit and the new business it can bring, and the just holding the asset on your balance sheet, as we all know here, it's pretty addictive, and it changes everything you ever thought about business, the economy, life, relationships, the whole gambit. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the episode with Patrick, and please reach out to him afterwards if you're interested in getting some tickets. Meeting plebs in real life, as I've said many times before, is a game changer. Like I said, I think on the last episode, Bitcoin Atlantis was one of those moments in history that many people are going to remember as the first time they stood toe-to-toe with people that they have been interacting with for many years, but finally got to meet in person. That feeling is incredible. Meeting the total strangers and getting to stand there and talk for hours with them is also incredible. If you want to meet plebs, Orange Pill app is the place to go. Go and find your local meetup, your local people, or start a meetup. Just connect, get out there, make these things happen. There's already 10,000 Bitcoiners on there, and it is growing all of the time. Make sure you're stacking your sats as well. Over in the US, you can use Swan. Across Europe, you can use Relay, RELAI.ch. Both companies offer you a DCA service, a white glove service, can help get your business onto Bitcoin. Plan your retirement, plan your investments. Absolutely everything is there on either of these companies. Swan in the US, Relay in Europe. Use the code BITTEN. Check mempool.space to check out what's going on the blockchain, what are the current transaction fees, and make sure you're using wasabiwallet.io if you are looking into coin joins. Finally, please take self-custody. Use the Bitbox. The link is in the show notes. It's a hardware wallet. You'll get a 5% discount with the code BITTEN. Here's Patrick. All right, Patrick. Great to meet you. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Great to meet you too, Daniel.
So we were put in touch. Big shout out to Aaron. He set up the... He gets plebs together in Essex. He tries to curate the Essex Bitcoiner group, and I managed to get along to the Bitcoin meetup there just last week before. I don't know, it's going so quick. Time is flying past. And nicely enough, the meetup, the first Essex meetup I managed to attend, was in my hometown and in the very pub that I started working at on the first week I was 18. So it was a nice full circle.
And does that pub actually accept Bitcoin now?
No.
Oh, okay.
I
That's
did
the
tip the I did tip the bartender with some Bitcoin on the understanding that he did go at least to download some of the podcasts and start listening. So that was one step at a
that's
time.
a nice start here.
But you are the master at this because Aaron was telling me about Arnhem in
Yeah, he
Holland.
actually came to Arnhem.
Yeah,
And I wanted to meet him, but I'm not really sure what the reason was. But usually, when somebody shouts out to me, "Hey, I'll be in Arnhem this week. Maybe we should have a drink." But Aaron was one of the few people where I, yeah, couldn't manage to get in Arnhem and have a drink with him. So I missed him. But yeah, he obviously enjoyed the stay here. I'd say.
He loved it and he can't wait to get back. And he was shilling it hard to me. And then, actually, whilst we were in the pub, he's like, screw it. I'm messaging the guys. You got to get these guys on the podcast. So that's how this come to be.
Yeah, cool.
But the plebs might be thinking, who the hell is this Patrick guy? What is Arnhem? Where is Arnhem? What is Bitcoin Stad? Right? Okay. So where do you want to start? What do you want to what's the best way for you to introduce yourself?
Yeah, probably the short version is that in 2014, I started to convince merchants, together with Annette and Rogier, two friends, to accept Bitcoin in Arnhem, and we created our own payment processing software at the time, and that's actually how we just got to the local pubs, and we asked them, "Hey, we want to come around with a few Bitcoin users in your pub, and just have some sort of pub crawl and have some drinks and food." But we really want to spend Bitcoin at your place, so you need to accept Bitcoin. But we also have software which allows you to instantly convert the Bitcoins into euros. So you will just receive euros into your banking account. So for that merchant, it doesn't really matter if somebody would pay with their banking card or with Bitcoin, because at the end of the day, they have euros into their banking account. That's how it started in 2014 with 15 restaurants and pubs, and that gained some publicity. And then other merchants, onboarded the project as well. So, like, one of the first was a dentist who read about this story, and he said, "Yeah, I'm willing to accept Bitcoin as well." So, for my dental services. And then we had a flowerist and clothes shops, and even in 2000, the end of 2014, we had the local Spar supermarket accept Bitcoin, and yeah, that. Then actually, Bloomberg came, and a lot of Dutch news stations made reports out of it, and yeah, that was like a thing in 2014, where there was no Lightning Network, and everybody was just paying on chain without any fees most of the time, because yeah, you could still send transactions without fees back then, and
Oh man.
yeah, that's how it started.
It makes you realize how early that was, 2014. So how long had you been like looking into Bitcoin and playing around with Bitcoin up until that point?
Well, a friend of mine in 2012 came to me and some other friends. We have like a group of friends who are all have an IT background. And one of them said, "Hey, there's a thing called Bitcoin, digital currency. Maybe we should check it out." And yeah, that's the starting point. We just went into the rabbit hole, and yeah, probably like most of the people who actually study Bitcoin a bit, were amazed with the technique that was being used for every problem that you come along when you try to do decentralized money. So yeah, we were, from the technical aspect, very enthusiastic about it, and we thought, okay, this is going to be much bigger than it is right now. Maybe we should do something with it. And that's how we started in 2014 with Arnhem Bitcoin City and our payment processor, Bitkassa.
Bitkassa, right? Yes. Okay. So hang on. Let's go back to 2012. You're just a bunch of friends that have come together having this discussion, and one of the dudes or dudettes just says, "Yeah, there's this whole Bitcoin thing," and like it's the usual eye roll, I'm guessing. And it's difficult to find information back then in those days. So where were you? I mean, for now, if newbies are listening to this podcast, it's 2024. If they want to go into the Bitcoin rabbit hole, there's a stack of books, there's a stack of podcasts, there's a stack of YouTube videos, there's a stack of articles. You can just immerse yourself and you're gone. You can lock yourself away for a week and you're up to speed, right? Keanu Reeves style. But in 2012, no way, man. Like, where were you getting your information from? What were the, where were you being led?
I think the key source of information for me was the Bitcoin Talk forum, bitcointalk.org. And yeah, there's multiple topics, and yeah, that for me that was like the key point where I got my information from. And then much later, Reddit was also a source, and then Reddit, yeah, went not in a good shape, and people moved to Twitter. So yeah, that's a bit of the path that I followed for my information.
So when you you fall in from a technical background, on those Bitcoin talk forums, I'd love to know, was anybody really talking about like the philosophical side of things back in that time, or was it all just like purely tech? This is what it solves. This is where we're
No,
going.
it was, I guess, mostly people from the tech background were hanging around there, but there was also a lot of talk about what this could actually mean in the future and how this could work out in the long run. So yeah, people like Greg Maxwell obviously did some of those posts, but there were many more who were also around then, and yeah, where. Not just the technical stuff discussing, but also what this could actually mean. And that's also when I started to learn what actually money is and what the euro is. And that's actually where I think I was even more amazed about what money was than about how amazing Bitcoin is, because yeah, I didn't realize that just commercial banks were creating money out of thin air back then. Actually, I couldn't believe it at first when I saw some of the threads about it or some YouTube videos back then. I thought it was more like a tinfoil hat topic, but yeah, actually, it was very true what I read back then.
I get Mike Maloney must have been around back then. I think I remember seeing some of his videos about gold and about how the monetary system came to be. And funnily enough, Schiff was around back then, obviously beating the drum about gold and railing on the Fed. Of course, The Creature from Jekyll Island that had been out and published, but I had not fallen into any of these books or any of. And I worked in fiat currency world. I worked in foreign exchange markets, but it didn't matter to me, right? It didn't matter what money was or wasn't. It's just, close the next deal.
Yeah, but that's actually that's how most of the people are living until somebody tells you this strange story about how it actually works.
So what I think is a great conversation to have is because a lot of us plebs are doing today what you did 10 years ago, and that's going into our cafes, into our bars, into our restaurants, and at least asking the question, do you accept Bitcoin? So that is happening more and more, and I encourage more plebs just to ask the question, just like the first touch point. But you're running around doing this in 2014, knowing free lightning as well. That's just incredible. No, but you must have known you had to develop this software for them just to be able to switch it to euro because it was so new back then. Like that was a completely different sell.
Yeah, absolutely. Because most of the merchants had never heard of Bitcoin, and some of them who had heard of it were instantly thinking about Silk Road and dark markets, and yeah, they wouldn't like any connection with that and their shop. So yeah, we were thinking, okay, well, how can we make it so easy as possible for merchants to accept Bitcoin? How can we lower the burden as much as possible? And back then you had like BitPay around, but yeah, to be honest, their software wasn't really working very well at one of the cafes that we saw that was already accepting Bitcoin back then. Some things like you couldn't, you could only enter full euro amounts and no euro cents because of the dot or a comma separator that was different in our language, and things just got broke. So we decided to create our own software, as we were IT guys, and for us that's not a real hassle, actually things that we like building. So actually my colleague Rogier has built most of Bitkassa, and yeah, that's just a tool that we went along with. And so in the early days in 2014, every merchant wanted to instantly convert the Bitcoins into euros. But then after a while, the first merchant came to us, hey, can I also keep the Bitcoins myself? Because I think this is a good idea. So we actually had to build the possibility that we would just forward the Bitcoins to their own wallets.
Wow.
And, yeah,
that was early. That was early for a merchant to realize that.
Yeah, that was probably in maybe 2014 or otherwise 2015 that these merchants came to us. And now, when you pay in Bitcoin now in Arnhem, every merchant is keeping the Bitcoin to himself. And that's
really
really.
So there's been a full wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And that's actually due to the Dutch regulators, who made it quite impossible for us, for Bitkassa, to do the conversion. Because if we were delivering that service, then from 2020, we had to pay like 30,000 euros per year to the Dutch Central Bank for a registration to be able to deliver that service. So we said, okay, we cannot offer this because we are offering this service for free. We're not making any money of this. But we do have a lot of merchants that that accept Bitcoin. So at the time, like a quarter of the merchants were accepting Bitcoin. And then a quarter of the merchants were keeping the Bitcoins themselves. And then after 2020, we told them, okay, we cannot do the conversion any longer. And some merchants like the gas station told us, okay, this is going to be a bit of a hassle for us, for the administration. We have to stop this then. But other merchants were telling me, okay, then maybe I should just keep the Bitcoin from now on. And so, yeah, we lost like half of the merchants in Arnhem Bitcoin City, and the other half is now fully keeping the Bitcoins themselves.
That's so classic. The regulators step in to overregulate something and go ahead and get the complete opposite of what they were trying to get. They're actually minting Bitcoiners.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's
you gotta love that.
That's a good side of it. Of course, we were not too happy when this all dropped down on us. But
yeah. Explain that when that news. I mean, how does that news hit you? That's just a headline, or were you actually emailed or approached by the central bank directly?
In 2014, there was also like a branch organization started for Bitcoin companies in the Netherlands. So there were a lot of brokers and exchanges in the Netherlands that were offering services where you could pay or where you could buy or sell Bitcoins. And they launched a branch organization. And I'm not really sure, I think 2018 or 19, I became the chairman of that organization because Bitkassa was also one of the members. And so I was, we had contacts with the Dutch Ministry of Finance and with the Dutch Central Bank already. So we knew what was coming. And for Bitkassa, we were like the smallest company within this branch organization. We were the only company that did not register at the DNB because of the costs that were just too high for us. But the other parties, we all went along. So we knew what was coming our way, and we decided, okay, we cannot do this anymore. And of course, we were checking maybe if some of the other parties who were bigger could work together with us so that we could continue our service under a different name or a different party. But these parties were all very occupied with just making sure they got their own registration with the services they were offering already. And there was like a huge fight in the Netherlands where even the Dutch Central Bank got into a few court cases with us where the Bitcoin companies won most of them, actually, because the Dutch central bank was just overregulating the entire market here in the Netherlands, which did a lot of damage. The same story again, making it so hard for the Dutch companies to just offer their service that most of the of most a lot of the Dutch customers actually went to Binance, for instance, who was not regulated at the Dutch central bank and was not doing all the anti-money laundering stuff that the Dutch parties were doing. So yeah, it's a bit how these things are going.
The same is being repeated at the moment in the UK. I don't know if you follow Freddie New from the Bitcoin Policy Institute in the UK, but he's doing a lot of threads about this. And well, he started and he got a team together of some other plebs in the UK to just to try and educate the policymakers because they just don't know. Like they have no idea what they're talking about. Like actually zero. They've not done the work. They have no idea what this thing is. They're just, you know, living, they're being fed by the headlines, you know, crypto bad. And the same again is happening now in the EU with this move to ban proof of work mining.
Yeah, with Ludmilla and Botha arguing against it.
So in the UK, they've made it impossible for companies to even advertise their services. So you have Coin Corner in the Isle of Man that have been around for goodness knows how long, one of the longest standing exchanges, can't even advertise anymore. But Binance and Coinbase and Kraken, they can advertise to whoever they want, whenever they want on any social media. So it's like, you're pushing like the UK citizens into making accounts outside of your jurisdiction that are going to have completely different regulatory standards and needs. And it's what a mess. So once that happened in Holland, what did the plebs in Holland start doing? What's been the knock-on effect of newbies coming in trying to find places to buy Bitcoin, and you know,
the Dutch companies were fortunately allowed to do commercials, so that's not a thing that happened in the Netherlands. But I think the most wild measure that the Dutch companies had to take was that whenever somebody wanted to withdraw Bitcoins from their platform, they needed to get some sort of a proof that the wallet they withdraw to was actually in custody of the client they were having, which meant that you would need, for instance, a video or a photo of your wallet to do some sort of a proof that, okay, I'm now having this blue wallet here in my hand, and you can see this is mine. So that was the thing that they really needed to do, where the court case actually was also held over. But yeah, that was just such a hassle for the Dutch customers that a lot of them moved to other platforms.
That's crazy. So to withdraw your Bitcoin, you had to take a picture of yourself holding like your BitBox or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I remember something like that now. Now you've said that. Is that still the case or was that overruled?
It's overruled. But to my surprise, some of the Dutch Bitcoin companies are still having some sort of this rule applied. They're still making it harder than necessary. So.
And how's the peer-to-peer market in Arnhem or in Holland? Did that start ballooning because of this overreach in the regulations?
I'm not really sure. I don't have some insights on that. It's not like I hear a lot of people doing peer-to-peer transactions with each other at Bitcoin meetups, for instance. So yeah, they're probably happening, but I don't think it's like a real big piece of the pie. But to be honest, I think most of the Bitcoin or crypto people are just buying the stuff and letting it stand on Binance or other platforms, and just wait until the price goes up and then try to sell it again for fiat money. That's like the majority of the crypto and probably also some of the Bitcoin customers that they are serving. Yeah, which is obviously also a problem for Arnhem Bitcoin City,
Yes.
because what we want is actually to get people to use Bitcoin.
Self-custody and use.
Yeah,
Yeah.
these are the main points of Bitcoin, I'd say. Control of your own money and yeah, but for self-custody, there's like multiple layers in my opinion. Obviously, your savings stacks need to be in self-custody. But at the moment, I'd say if you are using Bitcoin on a regular basis, for instance, when I use Bitcoin quite a lot in Arnhem, and I really like the custodial Lightning wallets around, because they have like zero fees whenever I pay in Arnhem, due to direct channel that we have with them. And yeah, they have like a very good interface. Even my mom, for instance, is using one of these wallets and pays with Bitcoin at the restaurants in Arnhem. And yeah, that's harder with the current wallets that are non-custodial. Although I do think we need to develop those wallets further, so that it will be more easier for people. But in my opinion, if you have like a few $100 on a Lightning wallet, just for groceries and that sort of stuff, and yeah, okay, it's of course a bad thing whenever a custodial wallet pulls off a scam or leaves or something else happens with it. But it should be a very minority of your bitcoins. Just like whenever you lose your fiat wallet on the streets, that things can happen. But yeah, it's also bad whenever you lose a few bucks of that. But
So
you will survive.
for those newbies that are listening, and they might some of the language might be going over their head. Let's just try and help them down the rabbit hole a little bit. So you like custodial and non-custodial Lightning wallets. So let's compare the two. So let's start with custodial. What when you're educating people about this, how do you like explain a custodial Lightning wallet? And could you give us a few examples?
A custodial Lightning wallet is where the keys of the Bitcoins that you put on that wallet are actually not yours. You don't have full control over that wallet. There's a company behind it who can pull the plug anytime they want, and you just need to trust them that they don't do that. And in exchange for that, they are offering a very user-friendly service where you can very easily and often very cheap use Bitcoin on a daily basis. So that's like the custodial Lightning wallet version. And some examples are Blink Wallet, previously called the Bitcoin Beach Wallet, which was developed in El Salvador, El Zante. And Wallet of Satoshi is also one that I can recommend, because it's just very easy in use. But you have to remember, do not use this wallet as some sort of a saving. So whenever the stack that you have on this wallet gets to an amount that you would be really sad if you lost it, you need to get it off that wallet and put it in some non-custodial wallet or a hardware wallet or whatever other option you have to store Bitcoins, which you fully control yourself.
Right, perfect. So yes, third party custodial, they have the actual like access to the Bitcoin and you're just, plugging in and out of it.
That's actually just like a banking service nowadays.
Yep.
They have full control of your money, and they can pull the plug whenever you want. And some people experience this, especially when you are doing Bitcoin transactions on your banking account.
So now let's go to a non-custodial. And explain to the plebs what that means, and then another few examples so they can start playing around.
Yeah, non-custodial wallet is where you actually have full control of this wallet. You are the only one who has the keys of this wallet, and you can spend the bitcoins whenever you want and whenever you like. Nobody can stop you from doing this. This also means that whenever you lose those keys, there's nobody to save you, and your funds are just gone. They are still on the blockchain, on the same addresses, but you cannot ever spend them again if you lose these wallets. So whenever you have bitcoins in a non-custodial wallet, it's very important that you keep the backup seed, which is usually 12 or 24 words, in a very safe place where nobody else can reach it, and just keep it safe. And with Lightning, it's a bit more difficult because you have to set up channels for yourself, and there are some non-custodial Lightning wallets which are trying to make it as easy as possible for you, like Phoenix or Zeus. But still, there's always a downside because whenever they try to automate things, we saw that things can go bad as well. For instance, when there's a lot of activity on the Bitcoin network and it gets really expensive to do Bitcoin transactions, then opening and closing channels is quite expensive. So whenever you use a non-custodial Lightning wallet, you might want to try to open channels whenever there's not so much traffic on the Bitcoin network. So that's quite inexpensive to open and close them.
Yeah. A little bit more labor, a little bit more manual labor in there, and a little bit more of an understanding. So there is like a step to go through in each one of these steps. And then the final step, I would say, would be using something like Zeus that is connected to your Lightning node remotely. So that's fun. When that works, it's just incredible. I've been using it around here a few times to pay people. Whilst I'm in the UK, and that's just, it still blows my mind. It's like, how am I sending a Lightning payment from my phone that's just connected to my node that is in France using the channels that I opened up a few months ago? That's probably the last level. I mean, do you take it any further than that?
No, I wouldn't take it any further than that, I guess.
Yeah.
No, that's like the summon.
The Lightning pathway.
Yeah, but it really needs to be more easy because for instance, I don't see my mother running her own Lightning node or something like that. So yeah, and still I do want her to use Bitcoin. So I'm glad there's also other options that you can offer.
Absolutely. So what's Shilas RM? Like, you know, a lot of people might never have heard of it. Like, it's a city in Holland.
It's a city in Holland. And if you want to come to Arnhem, then the best time would probably be around at Pizza Day, 22 of May, because we'll have pizza with a lot of Bitcoiners here. Because on the 25th of May, there will be a conference in Arnhem, the Adopting Bitcoin conference, but then the Arnhem edition. So you have like the El Salvador edition, which has taken place 3 times now. Mm-hmm. And just last week, there was the Cape Town edition. And I'm organizing the Arnhem edition because of the celebration that Arnhem Bitcoin City now has that 10th anniversary. And so between 22 of May and 25th of May, we'll have a lot of Bitcoin meetups in Arnhem. You can play board games. Bitcoin themed board games will be available. Pizza eating, but there will also be like activities like mountain biking in the area of Arnhem. We have like one of the best mountain bike trails here in Arnhem, or a walk with other Bitcoin plebs through the nature around here. It's really quite beautiful. Most of Dutch people who are going to vacation within the Netherlands are actually coming to our region because of the nature around here. And then, the city center, it's just an older city center. I have to say that most of the old buildings were bombed in the Second World War. Arnhem had like a huge battle back then. The bridge is one of the keystones of that battle in the Second World War. It, there's a movie about Arnhem called A Bridge Too Far, with Sean Connery and Anthony Hopkins. And but there are a lot of nice restaurants, and you can go to a supermarket and pay for groceries or flowers or shopping or whatever. And yeah, we'll just make sure that especially between the 22nd of May and the 25th of May, there will be a lot of activities for Bitcoiners around here. We're still working on a lot on some of them. For instance, a hackerspace or something like that. We need to arrange a location for that. But yeah, there will be a lot of things to do.
So it's not a conference per se. You're not going to have panels and speakers. It's going to be more of like satellite meetups and plebs just getting together and celebrating it's, Bitcoin.
It's both. On the 25th, we have a classical conference with keynotes and panels. Giacomo Zucco, Peter Todd, but also the guest from your podcast, Ludmilla and Bota will be here. And I try to get them into a panel with some of the Dutch regulators. I think that might be something interesting to
that would
to
be
watch.
Amazing. Are the regulators interested in participating? Have they shown interest?
I still have to contact them, but because I of my role in as a, in the branch organization, I do have contacts with them. And yeah, I think I've already told them in the past that I would really like to bring the compliance people together with the actual users of Bitcoin to yeah to get to know both of the worlds actually. Because I've also seen a lot of shit happening on Bitcoin platforms where people are being scammed. They thought they were buying an iPhone, and then some fraud let them buy Bitcoins and transfer them to their to their accounts. And the customers, of course, complaining at the Bitcoin companies why they haven't received their iPhone. They thought they were buying. So that sort of thing. So, but yeah, that's like, I really like to bring those worlds, worlds together. And I hope that we can do that at the Adopting Bitcoin Arnhem conference.
That'd be amazing. Truly, because yeah, like I mentioned Freddie before, and he's been behind the curtain, so to speak, to you know, listen first of all, because you know that there is a certain amount of ego that, wrapped up with politicians and bureaucrats that you have to go and listen to them first. But when you listen to them, like oh my god, like your knowledge is zero. How do we get through to you? And it's education. Education. So if they're willing to be a part of it and come along and learn. I remember I was at an event, an Einen Zwanzig event in and sorry German listeners for probably mispronouncing 21 in German. but I was at an event at the Hotel Princess, and they had they had one of the like top bankers up there or something. I can't remember exactly his title, but he was staunchly the other side of the fence. You know, he was proper Bitcoin economist, Keynesian economist in that world. And he was on a panel with a few of the guys, and they had an interesting conversation. And then the conversation spilled out into the hallway and into the bar area. And he stood around for another hour and a half, 2 hours, talking to some German maxis. And in the end, he left and he said on his way out, he's like, I had no idea I was going to learn so much. Like coming to this event.
Yeah.
So as much as we rail on them and we want to dunk on them, a part of me says we've just got to get the information into them and the education and just let the orange pill do its work.
Yep. Yeah, they are people, so I say they can be orange pilled one way or the other.
And when they see an event like this that's putting on and the amount of people, like the tourism this is going to bring to Arnhem, right?
Yep.
So how do the plebs get there? What's the best entry point for anybody in and around Europe, or even if they want to come across internationally from America or Canada or South Africa, wherever?
So actually, just yesterday, I spoke to the people from El Salvador. from Bitcoin Berlin. They also run a circular economy over there, and they also asked us how they could come to Arnhem, and the best way is to get an international flight to Amsterdam, and then it's just like underneath the airport. There's a train station, and you just take the direct train to Arnhem, and it's like a 1 hour train drive, which goes probably like each half hour. And yeah, then you'll just be in the city center of Arnhem, and yeah, just get yourself an Airbnb or a hotel. There's actually one that might be booked quite shortly after this. But we have like one hotel which is accepting Bitcoin, and it is like an old church. And within this old church, they placed rooms in the top of the church, so they're like floating rooms. I think eight of them in a classical church, and then below it there's like a bar and that sort of stuff. It's an amazing place. It's like one of the best things that you can do with a monumental building, I'd say,
yeah,
to keep it alive. And it's really awesome place. So you can book that also and pay with Bitcoin.
That's amazing.
However, the website doesn't allow you to pay in Bitcoin, but I'd say if you pay with your credit card or make a reservation with your credit card, then you can pay with Bitcoin once you arrive there at the counter.
Right. Okay. And that there is also the travel service that's put on by the Shop in Bit guys. I've had Lando on the show. So if anybody's looking to travel and pay in Bitcoin for the whole trip, then just go to shopinbit.com and you can. I think you might even have the code BITTEN still working, and you can use their travel concierge and they'll put the whole thing together for you, the whole trip.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, man, I don't know where else left to take this. You've shilled Arnhem. You've given us your backstory, your rabbit hole story. We've touched on a bit of education around Lightning. I got to ask you the final question. If you had one last orange pill left to give to somebody, who would you give it to and why?
I probably gave it to our friend Augustine of the Biz.
Oh, yes. Augustine Carstens. Yeah.
Yes. with the thought that whenever he gets orange pills, that it probably has a lot of impact for everyone. So yeah, I think that will be a nice one.
Bank of International Settlements. You've gone for the final bus.
Yeah. If we can get to them, then yeah. But yeah, I'm not really sure if that's going to work. But it's a nice goal.
Yeah, it certainly is, mate. It certainly is. Well, what's the best way people can find more out about Arnhem and get themselves tickets to the conference and everything? What's the website? What's your Twitter handle that is best to get the plebs in touch with you?
Yeah, this is a bit dangerous because people might put ad on this. But whenever you Google for Arnhem and Bitcoin, then you will find our website, which is called arnhembitcoinstad.nl, and
yep.
Stad is the Dutch word for city. But whenever you Google Arnhem Bitcoin City or wherever, you will find our site. And for the conference, we have a separate site, which is also linked on our main site, of course. AdoptingBitcoinArnhem.com, and you can just buy a ticket there, and we'll be announcing a lot of speakers that we have gathered in the past few weeks. But this is going to be. Yeah, really great. I'd say that this is we've done a conference in the past in 2016, and but this is going to be the best conference that Arnhem has ever hosted. So yeah, if you're planning on a trip to Arnhem, this is the time to do it.
All right, excellent. Well done, mate. It's been great to meet you. Thank you for everything that you've been doing for Bitcoin. It's been an incredible journey. 10 years. 10 years hitting the streets, orange pilling merchants. There's and you're all over BTC Maps. Sorry, I forgot to shout out BTC Maps, Nathan
yeah,
Day,
yeah.
With his project there. If you look on BTC Maps, it's great.
Nathan will also be in Arnhem at the conference. So,
will you be yourself coming to Madeira or any other conferences this year?
No, I've been to El Salvador, and I've spent quite some of my travel credits from my family to go there. So I have to skip Madeira, but I already feel some of the FOMO popping up. But I have to do it without this year. I'm probably not going to any conferences before the Arnhem conference.
Will you make it across to Prague in June, or are you going to be like
Yeah,
recovering from the Arnhem madness?
not really sure. There's also a lot of FOMO from Prague, and I last year I thought, okay, this is just like a giant conference, like the Miami one, which I was not really attracted to, but the Prague one really seemed good with a lot of good talks, and so yeah, maybe I'm going to Prague as well. Yeah.
It was amazing. And yeah, look at the Euro plebs, huh? We're kicking ass with the conferences on this side of the pond. It's
It's going
really
great.
amazing. Yeah, and so many great historical cities that you can throw these in and attract people to. So yeah, all of those listening from across the pond and around the world, get over to Europe, come meet your plebs.
Yeah, do it.
All right, brother. Great to chat. Thank you
Thank
so
you so
much.
much, Daniel.
See you. Well, there you go, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Patrick, for giving up the time to come on and talk about your past and setting up Bitcoin Stad and Bitcoin Casa and the journey you went through to get this implemented. I think these conversations, they go a long way to help people understand that it is possible to start orange pilling your community around you. It just takes a couple of you and a little bit of dedication. And well, the best way, like I said at the beginning of the show, the best way you can start meeting each other, I know Bitcoin Twitter is a great resource for us. Nostr now is another way as well to get together and, you know, share big ideas. But if you just like want that pure app experience, Orange Pill app is the only game in town where you can go and find pure Bitcoiners, pure Signal. There's over 10,000 Bitcoiners on that app right now, and you just simply download it. It is a paid app. There is a caveat there, because you just want Bitcoiners on there. You don't want it to be spammed and completely open to absolutely anybody. You want the Signal. And then you just you can find out where events are going to be. You can find out where your nearest plebs are. You can start meeting each other, and you can start this kind of initiative. A big shout out to the Bridge to Bitcoin guys in the UK that go around many different meetups and help meetups get up to speed on, you know, how best to approach businesses when trying to get them to understand the power of accepting Bitcoin. So there is a huge amount of work being done in many different parts of Europe. And like I said at the end there, yeah, come on, Europlebs, let's go. We've got Bitcoin Amsterdam coming up as well this year. Towards the end of the year, I'm sure they'll announce that. We've got BTC Prague coming up in June. That was such an incredible event last year. We've also had Bitcoin Atlantis. That just went so well in Madeira. And we've got this one in Arnhem and Bitcoin Stad. And we have the European Halving Party coming up. I forgot to, yeah, if you go back and listen to my episode with Pierre Corbin, that's going to be in Warsaw, 19th to the 21st of April. And you can get a 15% discount on those tickets if you use the code BITTEN. So there's so much going on in Europe, and this is the best place to go and meet people and to start these projects. And yeah, I'm here for it. So please make sure you're stacking your sats. You know where to do that by now. Please use Bitcoin-only companies if you're new here. Try and avoid the shitcoin casinos wherever you can. You want to have a laser-eye focus on Bitcoin and Bitcoin only, and stack in the best manner that you can. Do not get over your skis. Do not use leverage. Swan Bitcoin in the US and Relay here across Europe, RELAI.ch. Check out mempool.space to see what's going on in the blockchain. WasabiWallet.io have got you for upping your privacy with coin joins and self-custody, the most important part of this whole journey. Get the Bitbox O2. Use code BITTEN for 5% discount on that hardware wallet. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Catch you on the next show.